Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If your roof starts to leak or your floors really squeak, you live in a money pit.
Money pit.
If your basement needs a pump or your place looks like a dump, you live in a money pit.
Money pit.
Pick up the telephone, fix up your home sweet home by calling 888 Money Pit.
The Money Pit is presented by RoofMax and the Angie app. Now here are Tom and Leslie.
Coast to coast and floorboards to shingles, this is the Money Pit Home Improvement Show. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
And we are here to help you get the projects done around your house, your home, your apartment, your condo, your yurt, whatever you live in. We are here to help you make it better, make it more beautiful, get the jobs done quicker, faster, help you if you're a do-it-yourselfer from becoming a do-it-to-yourselfer, help you find a pro if you want to go that route. That's what we do. In fact, we've been doing this a long time, as evidenced by today's episode number, Leslie, 2,200. Can you believe
we've
done 2,200 shows?
I cannot.
Wow. Oh, man. 2,200. Yeah, crazy. But you know what? It's great to have a job that you love what you do, and that's how we feel about this. We love home improvement. We love helping you get the projects done every day. We love seeing the questions and the comments that come in. So if you are enjoying this show, and we hope you are, we'd appreciate it if you would leave us a 5-star review on Apple or Google or however you listen. And if not, you can keep it all to yourself. How about that?
Yes, we're accepting. I love them. They're so helpful. We like those.
5 stars. Well, coming up on today's show, can you just not wait for those spring flowers to bloom? I mean, I am pretty psyched about this. And we're going to help with tips about how to get a color-filled garden going immediately, no matter where you live.
I mean, it's weird. I still want to be skiing, but I totally appreciate all the flowers. So I will accept spring very happily. Also ahead, if you find that your cakes are salty and your meatloaf is sweet, what you might be lacking is not cooking skills, but the right lighting in your kitchen. We're going to share some tips to brighten that space so, you know, you'll pick the right ingredients for the right recipes and help you become an even better cook.
And also ahead, we're going to highlight some of our favorite earth-friendly home improvement ideas to help you save energy, water, and money.
All right, and the clock is ticking down to Memorial Day. I'm ready to kick off the summer. I can't wait for the hot weather. I like it either to be really cold or super warm. I'm okay with this in between, but those are the two I love. So let's get to Memorial Day where we can officially kick off summer. What are you working on? How can we help get your Money Pit in tip-top shape so you can have those awesome barbecues again?
You can get in touch with us at moneypit.com/ask. Download the Money Pit app at moneypit.com/ask. If you've got a question, post it to the app. You will be among the first to get a response from us. But for now, let's get to it. Leslie, who is first?
Marge in New Jersey is on the line with a kitchen question. How can we help you today?
I have a carousel in the kitchen for the kitchen cabinets. And the shelf, the top one, is dropped a lot. And I can't figure out how to go about to secure it, or how in the world do you repair something like that?
So is this sort of like what we would call a lazy Susan, like sits inside of a cabinet and spins around?
Yes, and holds the pots and pans.
They take a lot of wear and tear, don't they, Marge? I mean, over all those years?
Sure. Does it have to be replaced, or can it be repaired?
Well, it depends. I mean, the first thing you need to do is clean that cabinet out and take the existing carousel apart. Now, if the mechanism itself, like the ball bearings, have fallen apart, there's a bracket between the carousel and the bottom of the cabinet that has like two plates on them, and they spin on ball bearings. If that access has broken down, which it could over many years, you know, that has to be replaced. And the thing is that those parts are all available, especially for those old cabinets. You can usually find them online if you research them. And essentially what has to happen here is you got to take that whole thing apart and then rebuild it. Now, this might be a job for a carpenter or a cabinet maker or somebody that's just handy enough to be able to tackle this. But I find that when I look at something like this, that cabinetry will speak to me. It will tell me how it went in and what has to be done to take it apart. If you look at it very carefully, you can usually figure it out because somebody put it in to begin with, and there's got to be a way to disassemble it. Does that make sense?
Yes, that does. Now, since there are two levels, one on the bottom and one on the top, the ball bearings would be in the bottom level so that if I start unscrewing everything, where would I find them? Does it make a difference if it's a two shelfer? There's one shelf way on the bottom, then there's the space, and then you have another shelf.
Right. I don't think it makes a difference because I think it's all part of the same assembly. And the ball bearings are going to be on the bottom, not the top. The top, it may have like an access point, like an axle, but the spin is going to be under where all the weight is. Okay, so that's the side of it. Does this carousel still move, or is it too stiff?
No, it still moves.
It still moves. What part of it is broken, Marge?
The actual shelf itself, the top shelf, appears to have dropped about 8 inches.
All right. So here's what I would do. If it was just the top shelf that dropped, I would look for a way to repair that top shelf. And I can't tell you exactly how to do it, but probably figure out a creative way. If that's dropped down, if it's sitting like on a center column, then they have to get something up underneath that to support it.
Okay. All right. So that's what I'll do.
Good luck. Thanks so much for calling us at 888-MONEYPIT.
All right. Now we've got Lee, who reached out to us through moneypit.com/ask or through the app. So this is awesome. And it's a Vox Pop recording. So let's listen to Lee.
I have cement board siding on the exterior of my home. I have a German Shepherd puppy that gnawed the corners off of 4 pieces of the siding in the middle of a wall. The corner, what I mean by corners, it's about a triangular corner about an inch deep on each board. Obviously, I can't remove the board off the home, so how do I repair that to get it looking somewhat normal?
So, Lee, I think repairing the damage really is going to depend on how much of it is actually physically gone. If it's a small area, which I think is what you're describing, there's a product called Wood Epox. That's Wood, E-P-O-X. It's a two-part product, and basically you take a scoop out of each one. It comes in like 2-pint-sized containers. You take a little scoop out of each side, and you kind of mush it together. It's like a putty, and you keep smashing it. You keep mixing it, and that actually activates it, and then you use this putty to reform those corners. Now, depending, usually it's difficult where you have surfaces that are adjacent like that, where you're going to have some differential movement, but might be worth a shot. But you can reform those corners. Now, the thing that's cool about Wood Epox is once it dries, you can sand it, you can chisel it, you can saw it. It basically works just like wood. And then, of course, you're going to have to paint it. Now, the other part of this, though, is that you say that you obviously can't remove the siding. Well, you actually can remove the siding. It's not an easy project, but it can be done. It's done all the time. And typically the way that happens is the first piece comes off, and that usually comes off and it is damaged and it can't be replaced. I mean, it depends. If it's clapboard, for example. I'll give you a trick of the trade for clapboard siding. If you have nails that go through the clapboard, what I do in a case like that is I take a very long, thin nail set and I drive the nail all the way through the first board and the second board underneath that. And then what that does, it tends to release that board that's like tucked up under there, and you could take it out. And then what you could do is you could cut in a new piece. And what I would do is I would stagger the joints. So if the first piece, maybe you're going to only put like a 2-foot piece on the end of the building, the second layer down, you might put that joint at 4 feet from the end of the building and so on, so that they're not like on top of each other. So you may need some professional help with that if this isn't making sense to you. But I can tell you that it does happen all the time and it can be repaired that way. But if you want to give the Wood Epox a shot first, you know, nothing ventured, nothing gained. You're not going to make it any worse, and maybe it'll work for you.
All right, now maybe this is going to last long enough so that puppy gets out of that chewing phase, and then it stays looking good because it's going to last.
That could be worse. I mean, you could be chewing your shoes.
You know, it could be your shoes. You're right. Everyone should know that drinking water is important to staying hydrated and healthy. Having safe, clean water is the last thing you want to worry about. But unfortunately, according to extensive research by the Environmental Working Group, 3 out of 4 homes in America have harmful contaminants right in its tap water.
That's why we are thrilled to be working with AquaTrue. AquaTrue purifiers use a 4-stage reverse osmosis purification process, and their countertop purifiers work with no installation or plumbing. It removes 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters and is specifically designed to combat chemicals like PFAS in your water supply. And they have water purifiers to fit every type of home, from installation-free countertop purifiers to higher capacity under-sink options. They even have a Wi-Fi connected purifier and mineral boost options.
And its proprietary purification technology is independently tested by IAPMO to NSF and ANSI standards to remove over 80 of the most harmful contaminants, including chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, PFAS known as forever chemicals, nitrate, and many more. I can truly taste the difference when I compare it with my old water filter. AquaTrue saves you money also. Just one set of filters from their classic purifier makes the equivalent of 4,500 bottles of water. That's less than 3 cents a bottle. Plus, you'll save the environment from tons of plastic waste.
AquaTrue comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee and even makes a great gift. And today, Money Pit listeners can receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier. Just go to AquaTrue.com. That's AquaTrue.com and enter code MONEYPIT at checkout. That's 20% off any AquaTrue water purifier when you go to AquaTrue.com and use promo code MONEYPIT. MONEYPIT.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Lauren, Mississippi is dealing with a very humid home and has a lot of moisture in the walls. What's going on? Tell us about it.
I was calling to find out what do you have to do to keep, like, moisture build up on the walls and the inside of the house that could turn maybe to mold, mildew. What do you have to do to keep that away?
So I think it's a combination of things, Laura. I mean, first of all, if you have air conditioning, you want to make sure you're running it consistently because air conditioning happens to be a pretty good dehumidifier. Secondly, if you have ventilation fans, these would be in your bathrooms and also in your kitchen. Make sure, absolutely sure, they're venting outside and not recirculating moisture back into the house in the case of a recirculating, say, fan, exhaust fan above your stove, or in the bathrooms, just dumping it like into the attic. Make sure it's moving that moisture outside. Now, if it's still excessively humid, there's a couple of things you can do outside your house. The more water that collects at the foundation of your house, the more moisture is going to end up on the inside of your house because it evaporates into that space. So make sure you're checking your gutters and your downspouts and getting that water away, making sure the soil slopes away. And then finally, if you're still having a lot of humidity issues, you can install a piece of equipment that is called a whole home dehumidifier. Now, it's not like the dehumidifiers that usually are, you know, maybe 2 foot by 3 foot. They sit in the corner and they have like a little bucket you have to like empty every now and again. It's not like that. A whole home dehumidifier fits into your HVAC system. It's installed professionally, but these things can take out like 90 to 100 pints of water a day. So hopefully some of those suggestions will help you dry up this house.
Lester in Tennessee is on the line with a squeaky, noisy floor situation. Tell us what's going on.
Well, I got some, a split level house and, the master bedroom and the garage are on the ground floor, and right above the on the second floor, the floorboards squeak when you walk. It's carpeted flooring, and as you walk across the floor, you can tell exactly where that person is heading and what they're doing based on the squeak in the floor. And because it's over the master bedroom, my wife has a hard time sleeping when I'm upstairs walking around and vice versa. So we need a resolution.
So now, the reason why you're getting a squeaky noise is because there's some movement between the subfloor and the joists. So when somebody steps now, you've got nails that have backed up and you've got the, you know, the subfloor and the joist sort of rubbing together, which is giving you that squeaky sound. Now, with the carpet, totally not the end of the world. You do need to be able to identify, though, where those squeaks are coming from, and you'll sort of have to do this in tandem. One person in the master bedroom, one person upstairs sort of stepping so you can kind of isolate where the sound is. And once you know where that sound is coming from, now you have to locate exactly where that joist is under the carpet and under the subfloor, because what you need to do is reattach that subfloor to that joist. And you can do that once you know exactly where everything is with a nail. You know, that's totally fine, and you'll have to use a nail, unfortunately, because of the carpet situation. And you'll hammer it actually through the carpet, reattaching the joist and the sheathing. And then once you've got that all put together, you sort of grab the rug by the nap and lift up, and you'll sort of pop that nail through the carpet, and just it'll still do its job of connecting the joist to the underlayment. Does that make sense?
And the type of nail that you use is important. You want to use a galvanized finish nail. Galvanized because it's rough on the outside and has more holding power, and finish nail because it has the smallest kind of head. And this way the nail can be driven through the carpet, or the carpet can be pulled up through the nail head, and you won't see it when it's done. And one more tip, when you're looking for that floor joist, you could use one of the newer, like the Stanley stud sensors that are available today. Super accurate, and they can go pretty deep into a floor. So they'll go through the carpet, through the subfloor, to locate exactly where those joists are, because it's really critical that when you place that nail, you know that you're going to hit the floor joist underneath.
Okay, great. And those are new on the market, because I have some older ones. You think I need to buy something or rent something?
The stud sensors?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they're new and they're pretty expensive. They start at about $20, but you can certainly try the one you have, and if it doesn't work, then you can go out and pick up a new one.
$20 is probably worth the sleep that my wife's not getting.
Exactly. Lester, good luck with that project. Thanks so much for calling us at 888-MONEY-PIT. Well, it's spring, time to plant the seeds that will become the beautiful blooms of summer. But if you're eager to get things going instantly, there is a solution.
Yeah, you know, nothing says spring like those colorful flowering plants in your yard. But if you can't wait for seeds to sprout, you can plant live blooms for an instant pop of color. But the key here, guys, is selecting the right type of flower for your region. And this is actually a pretty specific science. Now, the country is divided into 11 different plant hardiness zones. And to find out what your zone is, and then choose plants that are compatible with it. Now, you can find your zone on the U.S. Department of Agriculture Hardiness Zone Map.
Now, preparing the soil for your flowers is also super important. You got to have healthy soil, and you got to have the right pH levels for the types of flowers that you're planting. So step one is to test your soil. You can do this with a kit, and then you add organic matter as needed. You can add peat moss, sawdust, sand, manure, ground bark, or homemade compost to make sure that soil is just right.
Now, you also want to make sure that you water as directed. You've got to keep that soil moist, and your flowers will stay healthy. Now, we're going to talk about plaster wall finishes with Diane. What's going on?
Hi, I want to do a Venetian plaster effect in my movie room.
Okay.
And I bought the product from Lowe's with Valspar, so I'm not sure if it's a true Venetian plaster, but it's supposed to be probably an easier way to do it. And I wasn't sure if I should do it on a focal wall only or do the whole room, or if that would be too much.
Leslie, what is Venetian plaster in its original form?
I believe that it's plaster with the color tinted into it. And when you put it on, it's sort of burnished in a way. So you get areas with a shine,
yeah.
And then you get areas that are, I don't want to say porous, but they kind of look like you've skipped a spot, you know, but I guess porous is the right answer. So you've got areas that look almost like coral, where it's like kind of rough and pocky. And then you've got some that are super polished. So it's a technique in the product and how you put it up.
So does it provide a texture, or is it pretty much flat?
It's kind of a combination of both, because in the areas where you've got the smooth, shiny, burnished parts, that's super flat. And then right next to it, where you have these sort of like openish spots, while it's flat, it still has like almost divots in it. So it's kind of a mix of two textures in the process of install.
And you know why I'm asking that? Because I can't tell you, Diane, how many calls we get in the show about textured surfaces that people are tired of and they want to get rid of. And it's hard, you know?
I mean, it's beautiful. And it's a finish that if you like and you're going to be in that house and it's a process that you're willing to either learn how to do or pay the expense of having it installed for you and you're going to enjoy it, I say go for it. I mean, I've seen it more popular several years ago. I don't really know of its popularity currently, but it is a very specific look and the color can be sort of rich and muted at the same time, if that makes sense, because of the burnishing. It really is a lovely finish.
I'm thinking I just want to do maybe two focal walls instead of the whole room, but that's what I wanted your advice if you had anything to add to that.
Is this something you're doing yourself?
Yes.
Yeah, so you're going to find that it's definitely a trial and error. Maybe do some work on a sample piece of drywall that you've sort of prepped first to sort of get that technique down so that you feel comfortable before you apply it to your walls. And then I would definitely keep it as a focal wall or an area above wainscoting or something like that, depending on the room. But definitely try a sample part first and make sure you're comfortable with the process and you're happy with the results.
Okay, thank you so much.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Getting you unstuck? Well, that is exactly what we do.
Yeah, and no matter what that project is that you're stuck on, we can help. We're like virtual WD-40. It doesn't matter what the question is. We're pretty good for 1,001 uses.
You know what that stands for, WD-40? It stands for Water Displacement Formula 40. It was a bunch of applications that were tried by the Rocket Chemical Company because they're trying to figure out how to keep moisture out of electrical circuits. And they got up to 40. And I don't know how it worked with keeping the moisture out, but the story goes that the engineer took it home and tried it on a few, I guess, squeaky doors or whatever, and turns out it was a great lubricant, and I guess, as you say, the rest is history. So WD-40, Water Displacement Formula 40.
Well, how about that? You learn something new every day. Daddy in Oregon, you've got the Money Pit. How can we help you today?
We have a patio that had some cracks in it. It is exposed aggregate. My husband dug it out and filled in the cracks. Now, our question for you is there a sealer with some colorant that we could use over the whole area?
I think what you're asking us for is a concrete stain. Sealers are always clear. So if you've got this crack filled in and you've got some color to that, then what you're going to have to do is stain the concrete to match that. And then you could seal it, but you'd have to stain it. And if you're going to stain concrete, you would use an acid stain.
Okay. Is there anything you can recommend?
Quikrete makes a great one in a couple of good colors, more neutral than anything a little crazy. But it's an easy-to-apply product. You're going to get some great coloration there. And, you know, it's a reputable brand. They know what they're doing. So I would start there.
Well, that sounds great. And I really love your show.
Thank you very much, Dottie. Good luck with that project.
Now we've got Dean in Pennsylvania on the line who's got an insulation question. What can we do for you today?
I have an older home. It has a brick exterior and then the stud walls on the inside. And between there is the airspace. And that airspace dumps down in the basement. And in the wintertime, I'm feeling the cold air sinking. And I want to try and get my kids to use the basement a little bit more, but it's a little on the chilly side. And I don't know if that's like a vent of some sort, if I'm allowed to insulate that, or will I cause problems if I close it off or what?
You can actually see where this gap opens up to the basement.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
There's no reason that you can't insulate that. That would be along what we call the box beam or the box insulation. And that's actually a standard place to add insulation. The other thing that you could consider doing is you could use an expandable foam in that area to kind of seal the gap if it's not too wide, or simply add some fiberglass bat insulation there. I think that's the easiest thing to do. That will stop some of that draft from getting through to the basement and make being down there a lot more comfortable.
Yeah, right. I didn't know if that was, you know, how you have insulated windows now, two panes of glass with the airspace in between. I didn't know if it was something like that.
No, there's not quite that much thought put into it. It's just kind of the way those old homes were built. So you can certainly insulate that space.
Awesome. I'll do.
All right. Well, we're glad we could help. 888-666-3974.
Well, it's kind of a missing element in most kitchens, and it's not a $7,500 range or that, you know, 4-acre refrigerator. Nope. It's simply good lighting, and a well-lit kitchen begins with under-cabinet task lighting. So we've got some tips to help you with that.
No, that's right. Now, these hidden fixtures are actually fairly easy to add underneath the upper wall cabinets. And what they do is they sort of bathe the countertop in really bright white light, which is great for everything from dice and veggies to reading recipes. Now, you can connect the fixtures to dimmers as well, and then you have sort of the key to like a dramatic accent lighting effect or a nightlight for midnight snackers. I love that, you know, when you have folks over, everybody hangs out in the kitchen, so you can have a little ambiance when that's happening.
Yeah, it really is the heart of the home and the best place to hang out. Now, installing these lights really is easier than ever thanks to advances in LEDs. You can find under-cabinet lighting that works off of a battery, as well as LED fixtures that can be hardwired or plugged into a spare outlet.
Now, a lot of these fixtures are also designed to be interconnected. Now, that means they're going to come with like a short wire that can be used to connect several lights together. And that makes it easier than ever to see exactly what you're doing and sort of run those lights through your entire kitchen cabinet structure. Like you could, say, run them up to the stove and then use the interconnection wire to actually run that wire up, say, above the range and back down again, and then pick it up on the other side. And this way, when you turn the switch on, they all come on at the same time. So lots of technology now has changed to make these easier than ever. I mean, you used to have to hardwire everything and use fluorescent bulbs. You had to change all the time. Now that's just not the case because the LED technology is just so easy and so bright. It makes it super easy to get this job done.
All right, Colleen in Texas, you've got the Money Pit. How can we help you today?
Yes, I was wondering about a product called Restore. It's called Liquid Armor Resurfacer, and I have a dock that I wanted to put it on.
All right, I'm familiar with those Restore products. I've not used them, but I know what they're supposed to do. One thing I would tell you is I don't know about the brand you mentioned. I would make sure it's a brand that's been around for a long time, because we've seen some of those thick paint products do more damage than good. I know, for example, that Rust-Oleum, which is a good brand, makes a product called Restore. It works on concrete and decks, as well as vertical siding. So I might start by taking a look at the Rust-Oleum product. Just make sure you stick with a name brand that's been around a long time so that you know that you've got a really good product that you're putting on the deck. And I would also make sure that you tested it in an area, maybe on a couple of deck boards, to make sure you're completely happy with it before going all in on the entire deck or dock.
And is it harder to use this type of product versus just a regular paint?
Yeah, it's going to be more difficult because it's about 10 times thicker than paint. So the application is, you know, got to be done right. You're going to use similar tools, but it's going to be slow.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good luck with that project. Thanks so much for calling us at 888-MONEY-PIT.
Now we've got Ralph in Missouri who's working on a ceiling project. Tell us what's going on.
There's two rooms upstairs. And the one side I've changed into a bedroom and put a bathroom up there. The other one, I'd like to take the existing ceiling out and put a cathedral ceiling in. I just want to open the room up. The ceilings are kind of low now. Somebody put suspended ceilings in there, which...
made it even lower.
Well, yeah, and, you know, it's got the old tongue and, or lath and plaster walls and ceilings and all that. So I guess they didn't want to go to the mess. So what do? You just stick up a suspended ceiling. But anyway, I'd like to take the existing ceiling joists out and maybe not use the, you know, the rafters for the cathedral ceiling, but add some new rafters to kind of follow the outline of the roof line. But I just want to make sure that if I pull these joists or ceiling joists out of here, that the house isn't going to fall down. You know what I mean? The walls aren't going to bow out and fall out on me.
Well, the house may not fall down, but the roof might collapse. That's not any better. You see, look, if you've got a very high-pitched roof like that, and that roof is resting on the top plate of the exterior wall, and you take the ceiling joists away, those serve the purpose of tying those exterior walls into the rest of the house. Now, it doesn't mean you can't do it, but you just can't do it without somehow replacing that structural element. I would recommend that you not do this yourself, that you get help from an architect to design this, because it's a little more complicated than what you might think. It's easy to cut stuff away. It's not so easy to put it back together in the right way. And when it comes to this kind of modification, it's got to be done just right. There's other issues too. Now, you're going to have to make sure that this cathedral ceiling is properly ventilated and properly insulated. And that's going to take some work. Otherwise, you're going to add an energy leaking hassle to your home that won't bode well. And you might want to think about adding some additional lighting like a skylight or something of that nature. So it's a project that can be done, but it's a little more complicated than meets the eye. I would get some professional design help on this, not just get out the old Sawzall and start cutting things out of the way.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's good advice.
Well, would you guys like to save water and energy and money at the same time? Well, you can if you take on a few earth-friendly home improvements. So here are a few of our favorites, and they're really easy to do.
Now, let's start with some easy water-saving ideas for your lawn and garden. Now, the amount of water a garden needs really depends on the selection of plants as well as how you are actually watering them. For example, for gardens, you need to water deeply, so you want to make sure that you soak the root zone rather than the whole yard. Now, landscaping, your plant selection really does make a big difference. If you choose native plants, you're actually going to need little or no water beyond what nature is providing in your area. Mulch is also a great idea to help lock in that soil moisture, and that's going to reduce the frequency of watering. And drip irrigation, this is another great way to save water. If you use drip irrigation or even a soaker hose, you can reduce evaporation by directing water to those plant roots.
That is so true. In fact, one time summer when one of my kids came home from college, he was so into helping us trim the bushes, he went at it, but unfortunately he did a little bit too much, kind of like cut them way down for the middle of summer. So we used drip irrigation to basically restore the entire line of bushes because it was such an efficient way without any waste. We had that water delivered right to the root system. So it's a really good idea for lots of different uses. Now, to save some energy, there are a few other things that you might think about doing. First, shade your air conditioning compressor. You know, the hotter it gets where your AC compressor is located, the harder it has to work and the more it costs. So you can add some bushes or other screening. Just keep it at least 12 inches away from the compressor, because if it gets too close, it's going to kind of clog things up. Next, think about some shade trees. You know, the Department of Energy says that you can save 15% to 50% on cooling costs, or anywhere from $35 to $119. Plus, you get a beautiful new tree in the process. And finally, let's talk about storm windows. Not something we usually talk about this time of year, but if you have these and you have air conditioning, you need to keep them down to prevent drafts. Because if you think about it, drafts leak in the summer just as much as they do in the winter. You just don't feel it, but it's robbing your house of expensive air conditioning dollars. So keep those storm windows down if you've got central AC all summer long.
Mary writes in, and she's got an interesting situation going on in the yard. She says, I found some squirrels gnawing the corners of my wood deck. Is this because the arsenic is gone from the wood? What can I do to stop this? I don't think I've ever seen a squirrel eat like a piece of furniture or decking or anything. I mean, I bet they do, but I've never seen it.
Yeah, I have actually, because I made this beautiful, it was called the Lincoln Law Bench. It was like a 6-foot long bench with like a scooped out seat. I made it many, many years ago when I was in college, and it sat on my mom's porch for years. And we noticed that the squirrels were eating the spindles, the expensive maple spindles that I turned on the lathe when I was just a youngster. So I rescued that and rebuilt all that damage, but that was the first time I'd seen them gnawing away at wood. So there's a couple of things that you can do, Mary. So first of all, I mean, I think the best thing is just trap and release. You can use a have a heart trap and trap squirrels. Take them miles from your home, usually to the woods or a place like that, and then release them. They'll be happy and you'll be happy. So do that on an ongoing basis. And between now and then, you can always spray that deck with apple cider vinegar. Squirrels will be totally turned off by the scent of apple cider vinegar. It's inexpensive, it's simple, and it will keep those squirrels off of your deck.
All right, now we've got a post here from Bob who writes, we have a cat door window insert, and I want to build a medium-sized, I love this, catio. A catio. We're going to put a cinder block foundation under it, but we also want to attach it to the vinyl side at home. Can I just nail or screw through the vinyl? I love this, a catio. All right, go for it.
A catio.
Not the catio, but attaching to the side.
It's a bad idea to attach anything to vinyl siding like that, or the cat. But no, seriously. So, first of all, why are you going to build this, Bob? I mean, these are not expensive. You can look online at like Wayfair, Amazon, lots of different stores have these that are made as kits, and they're so well designed. They have all kinds of stuff inside of them for the cats to do and keep busy. So this is kind of one of those situations where I would rather buy than build. Now, in terms of attaching it, don't think that that's a really good idea, because you shouldn't be attaching like to the vinyl siding without treating it as like an intersecting wall, which means the vinyl comes off, has to be flashed, or has to be J-channel. I mean, it's a lot of work to do it right. So I would not do that. I would simply leave some space between the house and the catio. Buy one that's a kit, like I said, or if you insist on building it, build it yourself. I would leave a little bit of space, maybe 6 to 12 inches between that cat door and the catio, and just put a little ramp there. So they don't have to jump right into the catio. They can walk across the ramp and then go inside and back and forth and so on. And this way, the only thing you're attached is maybe this little ramp to the windowsill. You're not actually attaching the entire catio to the house, because it's really not necessary.
Unless that catio is decked out with everything they need, like a refrigerator and all the tasty treats, then definitely you want them to go right to it. But otherwise, they can go down a ramp and then get to their relaxation spot. I love it. I can't wait. Can you please send me a picture of how you deck out this catio?
This is the Money Pit Home Improvement Show, on air and online at MoneyPit.com. Wrapping up episode 2200. We want to take this moment to thank you for being loyal listeners for all these years. It's so much fun to turn the mic on every week and just talk home improvement with everybody that calls. We hope that you've gotten a lot out of it. We know we have. And thanks so much for being a part of our Money Pit family. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
Remember, you can do it yourself,
but you don't have to do it alone.
You live in a Money Pit.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.